Make a habit of it.
Brad Foe and Baseball Isn't Boring. WEEI.
Oh my God.
Excellent job, Jacob. Now you get. Now you're going. Now you're going. We can save Ace of Spades later. That, what is it? It's OMG, right? That's the title of the song. That is Gordo. Say hi, Gordo.
What's going on?
Gordo from Play Tessie Podcast is here, and he had already had one of the best lines. He's like, basically like, it's amazing. There's no team in the history of baseball. I'm paraphrasing you, Gordo.
Go ahead.
But there's no team in the history of baseball who has turned around their vibes more than... more bizarre way than the Mets have when it comes to Grimace and a random song from a utility infielder.
They tripped over themselves and somehow fell into Grimace throwing out the first pitch and Jose Iglesias lighting the stadium on fire.
What would be your answer for the Red Sox?
Oh, I think they need to bring the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar.
They
back.
Need to bring the Hamburglar.
Let's bring the Hamburglar to Fenway Park.
He would definitely outdo Ronald. I don't know if you can outdo Grimace. But you can outdo Ronald. That's like too chalk.
Oh yeah, no. This okay. There's a couple things that we can come away from this week. I'm helping the Red Sox, right? Correct. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford, and that's Gordo from Play Tessie. And we're gonna have at 2 o'clock. We're gonna have Matt Spiegel, who covers the Cubs, tell us, is it worth it paying $8 million to a manager? I think that's a good one, right, Gordo? Right.
Definitely.
So. But a couple things, takeaways. Number one, you're dead on that you have to learn from other teams, much like they do in baseball. It's a copycat league.
Copycat league.
The Mets have the Hamburglar. The Red Sox should have, the Mets have Grimace. The Red Sox should have the Hamburglar. And I will run down and give them a Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt. And I think you'll agree with me that the Derek White moment, we all know it as the Derek White moment, where he gets up on the Jumbotron, urging on the crowd in the Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt, and the next pitch, Romy Gonzalez gets a game-tying hit. Has to be, if the Red Sox have any common sense at all, forget about conversations about core contract, trade deadline, whatever. If they have any common sense at all, that has to be the rally video.
That's the peak vibe moment of the year.
Right.
Okay, there's two peak vibe moments of the year. It was the Zach Kelly inning against the Yankees, where he comes in bases loaded, no outs,
yeah,
gets three straight outs, no runs in. And it's the Derek White moment leading to the Jaron Duran.
But one lends itself to a Geno-type thing, right? A rally monkey type thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So what you're saying is that the new home run celebration...
No, not the home run celebration. I'm just talking about having Derek White of, like, if you want to get the crowd fired up, like... You don't
just show D. White in the shirt.
Show that clip of him, yes, up in the suite, urging on the crowd.
You know how they have
because before you go on, Gordo, because let's not get this twisted. I mean, Derek White's brand and popularity isn't taking a turn for the worse at any point in this Red Sox season. So you show him up there urging on the crowd in the Baseball Isn't Boring shirt. That is going to get everybody in Fenway Park jacked up.
Yeah, it should be like, you know how in the when they're entering the bottom of the ninth and they're tied or they're losing, they'll play Shipping Up to Boston and they'll have like a video.
Yes.
I think the end of that video, they should adjust
Boom.
It. The Derek White clip goes
Boom.
In and it's kind of like an explosion.
Yes.
At the end, and that's when the
Boom.
Is supposed to go out.
There you go. Let it be said. Let it be done. All right. A reminder, we are at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. The Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Celebrate the great American sales event and join the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling trucks, F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. We get a lot to pick through, Gordo, and you are going to give us your fake. You got a good fake trade?
Yeah, I've got three, and I'm trying to decide which one.
Give them all three.
I could give you all three.
Give all three, but not right now. There's some things to pick through here because the phone lines have been jacked. We appreciate everybody calling. We're with you till 3 o'clock. The pregame show, Joe Wild's going to step in, and then we have the three-man booth. Oh my goodness, Joe and Lou and Will. It's an embarrassment of riches here at Fenway Park. The Padres are here. The fans are outside on Lansdowne Street. Everyone's jacked up. Let's go. Everyone yell, Baseball Isn't Boring. Baseball Isn't Boring. You believe it? I believe it. Everybody believes it. All right. Speaking of which, before we get to the nuts and bolts, before we get to the Alex Cora contract conversation or the trade deadline conversation, let's get to the nuts and bolts, which is power rank the most impactful moments for the Baseballs and Boring brand. And that is the Noah Kahn t-shirt, holding up the t-shirt, the Derek White holding up or wearing the t-shirt, as we said, on the Jumbotron on Monday, or the Alex Cooper. Obviously enormous. It was crazy down here. The Alex Cooper also holding up the Baseballs and Boring t-shirt. Power rank them for me, Gordo.
Well, it's a pretty easy order for me. Starting in with three, it's Alex Cooper.
Yeah.
That's a pretty easy third choice. Number two, I'm going to go with Noah Kahn, even though his brand is definitely, as a whole, significantly bigger than Derek White's, as great as Derek White's brand is right now in this moment. The overlap between, like, the moment that Derek White was put on that Jumbotron, it's associated with such a peak in vibes in the Red Sox season. And they did win the Noah Kahn game. I was at that game. They did win that game. But the Derek White game, that was a signature game. That was maybe the signature win of the season to this point. And it's all associated with Derek White wearing a Baseball Isn't Boring
shirt. It was literally the next pitch after that happened, again, was Romy Gonzalez getting the game-tying hit to punctuate, and then obviously they go on to win. But I can't tell you, like, we've had a lot of great moments, Baseball Isn't Boring. But I can't tell you, the next day, the next couple days, everywhere I walked, if anyone, Derek White. And, like, that's great, man. Like, it's great. And I appreciate him doing that. And I never said, let's not get this twisted either. I never said, hey, Derek, put this t-shirt on. No, he's a baseball fan.
Yeah.
He is legit. And that's another reason why we should keep this
that's
going.
That's number one.
With Derek,
too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we appreciate everybody for supporting the cause.
And,
all right.
And his dad is a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah. And we're going to get him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Must be. All right. Gordo Play Tessie podcast. You have the heartbeat of the fandom. You have the heartbeat of the Red Sox followers. And there's been a lot. It's interesting because this week, there's been a lot of Red Sox conversation on a lot of shows that normally don't talk Red Sox. Let's be honest, right? And a big part of it, and we've had some great interviews here on WEI. We had on Cora on the Jones and Mego show, which I thought he was very good. And Breslow, and all, they asked really good questions other than the let's get greedy, which is more about the team and not the front office. But anyway, but I thought Chris Curtis pressing Breslow on this thing. But we had the crossover with Chris, and he's like, why wouldn't Breslow just say, I want Alex Cora back as the manager? And before you go and give your take, my thing is it's pretty simple, right? It's pretty simple that – there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go with a trade deadline. It's only a month, just over a month to go. There's a long way to go in terms of the relationship between Alex Cora and Craig Breslow. That's just a fact. And so, especially when you have a manager, an agreement saying we're not going to negotiate, we're not going to do any offers during the season, that's in place. And then you just have, let's just ride this out and we'll get to the end of the finish line. And the other part, the other nugget that I throw in there, Gordo, which is sort of intriguing, you know when Alex Cora's contract runs out?
End of the year.
No. The end of October.
So what does that have to do?
It has to do with, like, it's not like you can, like, his it ends and all of a sudden you're negotiating with all these teams.
You're saying if the Red Sox don't make...
The Red Sox own his contract through October.
Right, but that's basically the end of the season.
Not if... You don't think that these teams are firing? There's going to be managerial openings once the regular season ends?
You're saying that it's significant in that he can't negotiate with managerial openings?
Overtly, yes. Yes.
They could grant him permission.
Yeah. We know this is basically what happened with Council, right? Same sort of thing happened with Council. And let's be honest. There's behind the scenes. I'm just saying it's a little nugget.
All right.
What's your take?
That's an interesting one. The whole why is Breslow not verbally committing to we want Cora here as the long-term manager? I feel like it's a little bit of a media gameplay here where it's if Breslow comes out and says we want Alex Cora to be our manager for years to come, then that when it when then if he goes, if the offseason comes and he goes, I don't think anyone here is sitting here thinking the Red Sox would prefer to not have Alex Cora as the manager next year. He's a great manager. He's one of the best managers in
baseball. Yeah, I'll let you keep going. But the caveat with that is that, yes, you and I, we say pay the guy, let him be manager. He's getting the most out of this team. He's a good fit. We've seen him manage enough. But we don't know how Craig Breslow feels. We don't know how he thinks. We don't know what he values.
It's like true.
That we don't know.
It's true. But if you watch this team the entire year and the way that they have overperformed in so many areas and the way the vibe has been around the team from day one, I would find it crazy if Breslow was not happy with the job that Cora is doing. And to me, it almost feels like he doesn't want to set himself up as we want this guy back here. And then when he leaves for a big payday elsewhere, then it looks like your ownership group is cheap. They cheaped out. They didn't spend the money. Breslow wanted him back, but ownership held it back.
Well, and again, that's a very real scenario. That could happen.
If he goes, I think that
the part that, you know, that that people say, we've already had Chris say it, Tony from Bridgewater said it, Craig Breslow isn't making this decision. He is making this decision.
Well,
he's making this decision under the parameters. So if Craig Breslow says, I want this guy back, okay? In most every other world of every other managerial hiring or commitment, when a front office wants the manager back, all right, you get the manager back. This is different, I think, because this is more of a player free agent type situation where he can say, and I think it's a good point by you, like it's leverage, right? It's like, so you get to the end of the year and you say, we want you to come back. The ownership, John Henry, has deemed a manager's worth, not at the $8 million of Craig Counsell, but at, say, $4 million, half of that. And Alex Cora says, thanks, but no thanks, because another team values me more. Another team is willing to pay me the Counsell contract. So that's not Craig Breslow making those parameters. Right. That's ownership. And I'm just playing this out.
It all goes back to ownership.
It's exactly. They're saying, well, they're not. Craig Breslow doesn't have a decision in this. He's not the guy making it. No, I don't believe that. I truly believe that Craig Breslow has a decision. Like, for instance, say that Craig Breslow says to him, I want Cora back. They say, you're only allowed to pay him this, and Cora walks. The next decision to make a manager, they're not going to say, I don't think the ownership is say, Craig, we want you to hire Jason Varitek.
No, they're not going to do
that. No, but I think that that's where people are getting it twisted.
No, yeah, that's just not the... No. I think ownership is going to set the parameters here. And like, John Henry could step forward and say, I just don't think that...
A manager's... And that's the scary thing, is that we look at it as, like, how are they doing business? They're doing a business. This is what we feel scientifically, mathematically, this thing is worth. You know, 20 to 1, 30 to 1. And can't you see that when it comes to John Henry? Where we see a managerial impact at being X. And by the way, and we're going to have Matt Spiegel from Chicago on at 2 o'clock. By the way, the Craig Counsell thing isn't helping as much as his contract helped the managerial contracts. It has been, but this is not helping him. His results are not helping him. Well, you have
Counsell's results are not helping.
Helping the idea that a manager makes an enormous difference.
Right.
That this manager, hey, you pay this guy. You know, it's sort of along the lines, and I know we got to take a break, but now you got me rolling. It's sort of along the lines of where teams see, oh, well, you can be like Tampa and still win. And look at what the Mets and the Padres last year did. They paid all this money and they didn't win. Look. That's sort of what's going on with Craig Counsell right now.
A good point.
Thank you.
I actually hadn't thought about the Cubs result this year impacting the outcome.
And that's why I wanted to talk to Matt Spiegel.
Yeah.
Because like he's following this team every day. All right, Matt. All right, Cubs fans. All right, Cubs followers.
And you look at the team that he left.
Well, that's the thing. A year ago, they were buying Jaime Candelario at the deadline. I mean, there is so many things to pick apart in this, Gordo.
The Brewers are ahead of the Cubs by 11 and a half games.
They're
the Cubs were
water.
My pick to win that division this year.
Well,
it's not like it's just a bad roster. Like,
how could that happen where you pick something and it doesn't come to fruition?
It's rare.
All right, we got to take a break. All right, Jacob's got you trending. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Be back after this.
your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox opened up their series against the Padres with a 9-2 loss. San Diego exploded for 9 runs in the 5th inning. 5 of them were charged to Nick Pivetta, who lasted only 4. Devers also hit his 17th home run of the season. Game 2 of the 3-game set is this afternoon. Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Lou Maroney have the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck is on the mound for the Sox, and Boston College legend Michael King for the Padres. Cooper Boardman's got you ready for the game with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual, insurance planning investments. In the NHL draft, first round, which was last night, Boston University forward Macklin Celebrini went first overall to the San Jose Sharks. The Bruins selected BC commit Dean Letourneau with the 25th overall selection in the draft. He is listed at 6'7". In the NBA offseason, the Boston Celtics picked up Sam Hauser's $2.9 million option. Extension talks can begin after July 9th. DeJounte Murray got traded to the Pelicans for Larry Nance Jr., EJ Liddell, Dyson Daniels, and 2 first-round picks. And the Revolution will look to continue their 5-straight game winning streak tonight against the Columbus Crew at 7:30. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that's what's trending.
Baseball isn't boring. Bradfo.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
There we go. There we go. How can you not get fired up? Let's go. Baseball isn't boring. This is the Baseball isn't Boring radio show. You can subscribe to the podcast, which I implore you to do. I don't implore. You can do whatever you want, but I mean, I think it's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Play Tessie podcast. I think it's a good idea.
Subscribing to Baseball Isn't Boring and Play Tessie, if you do it, would probably be the best decision you made today.
Probably.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do or should and should not do, but it's a good idea.
It's a really, really good idea. It's a super idea. What's the latest Play Tessie? What were you guys talking about?
Latest, we were talking a little bit who said – not really a who says no. We weren't proposing fake trades. We were breaking down the Jeff Passan thing with Pete Alonso and Luis Renjifo, where
Pete Alonso's not happening.
Yeah, we didn't. That's kind of what we said.
Yeah, it's just Grimace and the Jose Iglesias song put that to rest.
Yeah, like if it felt like a long shot, even if the Mets were like the Mets of 2.5 weeks ago. But I mean, they're above 500 now.
Yeah, no, they're and this is the lesson. And this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. This is the show that you want to listen to, you want to talk to, you want to talk about. And you can talk to us, 617-779-7937 at BB Isn't Boring. I dropped a podcast yesterday, every single day. I mean, it used to be every weekday. Now it's every day. I'm exhausted.
You work harder than anyone in the game.
That's not true.
Rob Bradford works.
No. I am at Starbucks earlier than anyone in the game.
That is true.
I was in the Freeport, Maine Starbucks yesterday, dropping. I was in Freeport, Maine, at 6 o'clock in the morning because we try to have a podcast up before 8 a.m. every day on the way to set the scene for the rest of the day. And the one that I had yesterday was Lucas Giolito talking about his friendship with Tyler Skaggs. And this is a really quick aside before we get back into the core and Red Sox and everything else. But Tyler Skaggs, remember, was the Angels pitcher who died tragically. It will be 5 years ago on July 1st from overdose, and obviously had problems in Angels team employee, went to jail for 20 years for supplying him with the drugs. But Lucas Giolito has a tattoo that says "Bring the Spark" on his forearm, huge tattoo, and it's for Tyler Skaggs, who they're both from Santa Monica. And so, you know, this Lucas Giolito has 10 to 12. He's had 10 to 12 tattoos. He only started getting them before last year.
I was gonna say, isn't it all new?
Yeah, none of them are baseball related, and the Tyler Skaggs one, the Bring the Spark one, was the second one he got. So that tells you how important it was for him, but he talked about that. So that was good to talk about on the podcast. So there you go. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rich in Amherst. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hi, Rob. I just want to say, first of all, I agree with you about, you know, doing things to help the club now. But I want to play the devil's advocate for a minute in terms of the signings the Red Sox have spent a little money on in the past 3 years. So suppose we go to I can picture Henry making this case. All right, suppose we go to 3 years ago, Trevor Story, which has turned out to be one of the least productive contracts so far in the history of baseball. And then the second one is Yoshida, who's turning out to be a real disappointment. He's turning out to be a 250 hitter who can't feel that well without power. And then the third would be, and it's not a big contract, but the most they spent on the offseason on anybody, Giolito, and he's not even pitching for him. And I know they signed Devers, but that was internal. So I'm talking about going out and getting free agents. So it's a long, it would be helpful, I think, for the case that could be made to John Henry if the big contracts started working out a little bit, you know, because they haven't. Everybody that's being productive on the team right now is very affordable. Jensen, yeah, but that was 2 years at $16 million a year, so that wasn't that big, but that did work out. But I want to know what you're thinking is on that.
I think it's a great take, Rich, and I think that the problem, though, the spending the money problem, you're right, because everyone was obsessing over Jordan Montgomery, and we'll get to him in a little bit. Everyone was obsessing over that because they liked the idea of being in that game, in like be one the big going after the big fish. Yeah, Yamamoto, you have to outbid everyone for Yamamoto and so forth and so on. Okay. But my biggest problem is that when you're hamstrung, when you put the handcuffs on Craig Breslow, when it comes to guys like Jordan Hicks, when it comes to guys like Teoscar Hernandez, guys who not necessarily are going to get the 7-year contract, but guys who you just need a little bit more to put you over the top to get those guys that you feel are better fits. So I'm with you. Like it's a great point, Rich, but I think that's where it's points like that where you got to get a little bit more uncomfortable. And now, Rich, it comes to the trade deadline where this is your next chance not to sign the guy to the 7-year contract, but potentially pay down on guys that you trade for and use that money to either get better prospects or get better players. That's going to be the next test.
Right. Great. And can I make one more thing, Rob?
Sure.
Can I make one more point?
Yep.
I don't want to, you know, I think being bilingual is a skill. And I think Cara has that skill. And I think a tremendous percentage of the ball players now are their first language is Spanish. And I think that you know, if you look upon that as a skill to be bilingual, he brings that to the table that a lot of other people don't bring.
I think it's a good point. Thanks for the call, Rich. And, you know, it's, when somebody had called, I'm sorry, I forget the name of the caller who called up and said, oh, absolutely, Jason Varitek is more qualified than Alex Cora to be managed. I'm like, what? Like, what? It's, I'm not saying that Jason Varitek might not be a good manager. That wouldn't be fair because, look, Stephen Vogt didn't have the example. We could go down the same sort of list. He's not bilingual, I don't think, and he didn't have experience. But I do know this with Alex Cora. It comes back to fits for a team. And the bilingual thing, especially for this group, for these young players, I think is important.
It is important.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be comfortable with someone managing the Red Sox that didn't speak Spanish.
Well, you wouldn't.
I think you
you can still be a good manager.
Well, you can manage the team, but I just
think you can have a bench coach.
Managing a clubhouse, that's so important. And it's just, you think of so many of these young players that speak Spanish as their primary language. Like, how are you going to level with Brian Bayo through a translator? Talk to Emmanuel Valdez and settle him down. Like, there's guys that.
The example that you gave, right? So, it's not the be all end all. It's like when Cora was playing. Gordo of Playtessie, thank you for stopping by. Your expertise is always welcome and honored and valued.
Honored.
But when Cora was playing, and he mentioned this, I think, the other day on Jones and Mego, when he was playing, it's not like you say, this. You can be a leader, the get on the stool, everyone gather around me, when you're just a bit player, when you're the 25th guy on the team. But he said that his value was he was bilingual. Like there is a value to that of being the guy who can relate to other guys. And as a veteran player, he was able to do that with some guys on that team. Now, With this team, you're right. I think that you have a lot of younger guys who are Spanish-speaking guys who you can impact in a more powerful way. And the guy at the top of the list was the guy that any video would have shown you Cora was talking to one-on-one the other day, who was not in a good place, and that's the guy that you mentioned, Brian Baio. I mean, it was – he had to tell Brian Baio, an emotional Brian Baio, that we are skipping your start and pushing you back. And you saw the communication. And if Brian Baio is talking to someone who – and Brian Baio can speak a little bit of English, some English, understand English.
Yeah, they showed him doing a little bit of it on the social.
But I think your point is well taken. That was a perfect example of why that is a better thing, a check in Alex Cora's box in terms of being the most impactful manager for this group.
Like, just picture how Alex Cora can communicate with a Brian Baio versus how he has to communicate with Masataka Yoshida. It's just, when you're going through a translator, it's not, I mean, obviously, like, the words get across, but it's just how good of a connection can you really have?
Well, yeah, they aren't sitting out there in right field or wherever they were, him and Masa Yoshida having that sort of thing, that having that sort of communication. They just aren't, like they were, like he was with Baio.
Yeah.
All right, Rick in the car. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Rob, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Rob, they need more pitching in the bullpen. So besides the starting pitching, has been horrible lately. I'm not talking about how. Why did they send Criswell down? He's been better than Pivetta and the other guy, Baio.
Yeah, but they aren't going to jump ship on those guys. It's a good point by you and Rick. You're right on the money. The strength of this team for the first couple months, the starting pitching has not been what it has been in previously, and that's going to catch up to you. And that's, I totally agree when we talk about the trade deadline, and Gordo, I think you would agree with me. Number one with a bullet, another starting pitcher.
I do agree with you, and it's scary because you see so many of these starting pitchers going down. You see how few true sellers there are. It's scary because the price of pitching is always so high. It's only going to get higher. It's scary.
So, Rick, you're on to something. I agree with you.
Rob, let me get one more thing in because I know you guys are busy too. Because I do not want to see that Isaiah Campbell ever again, and I'm not crazy about that Greg Wiesert. He gives up a lot of home runs. I'm really not a Greg Wiesert guy. They need more bullpen help too.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rick. All right. The bullpen is interesting in the sense of I'm not going to really like wax poetic or spend a lot of time on Isaiah Campbell. I mean, he had a rough outing, is what it is. An up and down guy. Wiesert, maybe a little bit more of an intriguing conversation, if for no other reason is he was a part of the Alex Verdugo trade. By the way, Alex Verdugo, not good lately.
Not good. His OPS was below 700. He got it back up at the end of the game.
Can I tell you this real quick? Is that the Yankees dynamic? You talk about if you ever want an example of an importance of a leader on the team, Aaron Judge.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Aaron Judge should get paid more than what he's getting paid, because we've already heard stories like how Aaron Judge is embrace Alex Verdugo and let Alex Verdugo do his thing and everything else. That's one thing. But what, by the way, hey, Aaron, when you finish with Verdugo and telling Verdugo how great he is and how much he's welcome, just go over to Marcus Stroman. And in case anyone didn't see what Aaron Judge did with Marcus Stroman yesterday, you explain it, Gordo.
So, okay, there was a ground ball, double play ball, and Gleyber Torres, to me, it looked like he turned it as normally as he could, try to turn it. Did not turn it. The guy beats it out to first, and Stroman starts screaming and swearing into his glove, like, make the throw, like, come on, like, what? And then in the dugout, he's complaining in the dugout about Gleyber, and Judge literally, like, goes right up to Stroman, sits him down, like, hey, we can't do that. We do not do that.
Yeah.
And then Gleyber goes, hits a home run like a little bit later. And
by the way, Stroman said all the right things after the game. But this is – I love the conversation about leadership. Like, we sat down – another plug for Baseballs Are Boring. We sat down with Justin Turner to talk about exactly that. And I love that dynamic. And it's interesting with this Red Sox team, Gordo, because – the dynamic of all these position players being relatively the same age has worked really well for them. They're just showing up, and they're all of the same mind, and they're having fun. I will say this, and I would love to get Alex Cora's take on this. That's all well and good right now, but if you're in it and you head into the last couple months and you're going to hit things that you have never experienced before, it is good to have a guy sitting there, much like Judge was last night, much like Turner had been last year, to say, hey, you know what? Relax. Everyone take a deep breath. I think there is a value to that. Right, and right now, other than Rob Refsnyder, who isn't a full-time player, you don't have anybody, a position player, who's over 30 years old.
Yeah, and you also have to imagine, like, Rob Refsnyder deserves this team's respect. He's been great both as a player and as a leader. But as you said, he's not a full-time player, and he doesn't have the pedigree that an Aaron Judge or other players of that caliber have. If Rob Refsnyder sits you down, I think you're going to respect what he says. But when Aaron Judge sits you down, it's like, oh my God, Aaron Judge is telling me how it's going
to
be. Yeah.
Which it comes back to another thing with the trade deadline. It's not only getting the right players, it's reading the room and getting the right players off the field. All right, let's squeeze in Jake in Rhode Island before the break. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Thanks for taking the call. A couple quick points here. I think Breslow has done a great job finding young talent. Hamilton, Refsnyder, really scrappy team, and I would love to. Question I have for you guys is, with three hits last night, I think it's time to move Rafael up in the lineup. I'll hang up and listen to you guys talk.
All right, Jake, thanks. No, I don't. I mean, this is the thing, is that you ride out whatever you have with Rafael right now.
For like this
you,
year,
you ride him out. You do the, you know, we're not going to expect too much because you don't need to. I mean, this is another thing about it. Right now, you don't need to. Hamilton's hitting well enough where you can keep him at the top of the order. Obviously, you have Duran sitting there. That dynamic is working fine. And maybe I'm being too cautious, but at least wait another month or two before. Let's see what – because a guy like Rafaela, of his experience, it comes and it goes. I mean, we saw it with Devers. Remember the stretch Devers had where they fed him 50 straight fastballs and he couldn't hit any of them?
In Houston. That was crazy. Yeah. And then what was it? The Yankees tried it and it was just no more.
So anyway. So
I agree with you though, Rob. I would be cautious with Rafael. You gotta remember how long it took them last year to move Casas up in the order. This is a young guy and you know, he's had good stretches, but he did just break out of, I believe, an 0-for-18. So he's gonna have his ups and downs. He's hitting the ball a little bit harder lately, so it's good, but he's a guy who you just kind of have to play the long
game. By the way, it is
have ups and downs.
Yeah, speaking of ups and downs, it is fork in the road Saturday. We haven't even talked about the vibes of this team, where you're sitting a game and a half out of the wild card, and I think for the last couple shows that we've done, the last couple Saturdays, it's been pretty good. But it is I wanted to look it up, Gordo. I wanted to say what has been the record of the Fridays, this team with Fridays leading into the show. What have we had to deal with when it comes to this show? Because that's how it works, right? Everyone's reacting or overreacting off of the previous game. Well, I did the math of what we've had to deal with on the Baseballs and Boring show every single Saturday, what has happened the previous day, and how we have had the voice of reason when it comes to the overreacting or reacting or emotions of the fan base. I think after you're going to hear this record on Fridays, you're going to thank us for being the calming influence and being the adults in the room. Right, Gordo?
I am not. I mean, it feels like they lose every single
excited. That's a little bit of tease. All right, we're excited. 617-779-7937. We'll get to the calls right after this. We're going to take a break. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show.
Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Sometimes I'm so tired.
Good job, Jacob. Got the glass. Good job, Gordo. Here, play Tessie, the 421 Clubhouse Studios. We're getting ready for the Red Sox and Padres. Let's go. Let's go, people. The sun's breaking through a little bit. It's a great day for the great game of baseball. It's been a great week. Baseball isn't boring. Play Tessie podcast. Go check them out at Play Tessie. At BB isn't boring. We're going to be with you till 3 o'clock, where Joe Wild takes over the pregame show. And then three-man booth, Gordo.
Let's go. Three-man.
Hall of Famer, Joe Castiglione. That's coming up. Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, Lou Maloney, Will Fleming, all in the booth. It's going to be a good time. A good time. And this is going to be a big series. Huge, big couple games. So I want to pay off on the tease. We had said, what have we had to deal with the day after? When we do the show on Saturdays, the day after Red Sox games. Because in baseball, even though it's a long season, people are reacting and overreacting and forming opinions based on the previous game. That's how it works. Well, here you go. I counted 12. Did I already tell you what the number was?
No.
All right, 12 games, 12 shows. What do you got?
For my guess?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it's 0-12. I don't think it is. I'll guess 3-9.
3-9.
Is that right?
3-9.
3-9.
3-9. So we've had to come on after we've had to give the vibe meter.
One of the three was the Angels game where Story went down. So even though they won, it's the vibes from the night before have never.
No, that was early in the year.
That was early.
It's 3-9. 3-9. They're 3-9 on Fridays. That's crazy. But as I think the last couple times, I think you've had the game Cincinnati last week, the game before, you had the Yankee series. They lost both those. But I do feel like you get a better vibe, get a better feel of, are they able to win the next two? And which they did in both cases. This Padres, I'm not going to lie to you. I like the way the Padres team is playing. I like the cut of their jib. So even the Houks going today, it's great. I think it's going to be two good games, two great games.
I think today's game could be pretty low scoring. Tomorrow, I mean, with a knuckleballer, it feels like almost anything can happen.
Matt Waldron, knuckleballer, and I did talk to him about his relationship with Tim Wakefield. Go check that out in the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast the next couple of days. All right, Harry in Topsfield. Hey, Harry, thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
What's up, Bradfield? McFarland, first off.
McFarland.
Yep.
Second off, I have a little who says no trade for you and Gordo.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Gordo, you, Sammy, and Pat have been talking about how there's just a massive logjam of position players in the farm system at the moment.
Yep. I like
that. And not only that, we have to balance up this lineup. So, who says no? Masataki Yoshida and Matt Lugo to the Mets for old friend JD Martinez.
Oh, I know. I have the answer for who says no, but go ahead, Gordo.
I think I also have the answer, and it's the Mets.
It is the Mets.
I don't think the Mets are going to want to take on that contract.
No, and also the other thing is, Harry, that the Mets, as we said, because of a random song from a utility infielder and because of Grimace.
And a McDonald's match.
They are actually in it, and JD Martinez is so much part of that solution than part of the problem.
Fair enough.
So,
all right. No,
Harry, I want you to keep coming every single week. You are designated as our Who Says No caller. Don't let us down. All right?
Love it. Deal from the position.
Could you also do it to the Blue Jays for Justin Turner?
That one I like a little bit better.
Spoiler alert. I've come up with four for today. Justin Turner was,
all right.
was for
So one. This is what we're going to do. We're gonna take a break here. Matt Spiegel from Chicago. Chicago covers the Cubs, does radio shows out there, does podcasts, baseball broadcasting podcast, all of it. He's coming up. He's going to answer that. I wanted to have on Matt because, number one, he's great to talk to. But also, we talked a lot about Craig Counsell's contract. And Matt can give us a perspective of, is Craig Counsell worth the money they're paying him? Because obviously this is part of the conversation when it comes to Alex Cora. So we're going to have Matt Spiegel on. Then after Matt, I'll let you do your Who Says No fake trades, Gordo.
All right, let's hit
it. And that'll lead us right into the pregame show. But if you want to call 617-779-7937, we've had some great calls. We appreciate everybody. At BB Isn't Boring. Be back after this.
Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right. Good job, Jacob. Got the glass. Good job, Gordo. Here, play Tessie, the 421 Clubhouse Studios. We're getting ready for the Red Sox and Padres. Let's go. Let's go, people. Is it, the sun's breaking through a little bit. It's a great day for the great game of baseball. It's been a great week. Baseball isn't boring. Play Tessie podcast. Go check them out at Play Tessie. At BB isn't boring. We're going to be with you till 3 o'clock where Joe Wild takes over the pregame show. And then three-man booth, Gordo.
Let's go. Three-man.
Hall of Famer, Joe Castiglione. That's coming up. That's coming up. Hall of Famer, Joe Castiglione. Lou Maloney, Will Fleming, all in the booth. It's going to be a good time. A good time. And this is going to be a big series. Huge, big couple games. So I want to pay off on the tease. We had said, what have we had to deal with the day after? When we do the show on Saturdays, the day after Red Sox games. Because in baseball, even though it's a long season, people are reacting and overreacting and forming opinions based on the previous game. That's how it works. Well, here you go. I counted 12. Did I already tell you what the number was?
No.
All right, 12 games, 12 shows. What do you got?
For my guess?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it's 0-12. I don't think it is. I'll guess 3-9.
3-9.
Is that right?
3-9.
3-9.
3-9. So we've had to come on after we've had to give the vibe meter.
One of the three was the Angels game where Story went down. So even though they won, the vibes from the night before have never.
No, that was early in the year.
That was early.
It's 3-9. 3-9. They're 3-9 on Fridays. That's crazy. But as I think the last couple times, I think you've had the game Cincinnati last week, the game before, you had the Yankee series. They lost both those. But I do feel like you get a better vibe, get a better feel of, are they able to win the next two? And which they did in both cases. This Padres, I'm not going to lie to you. I like the way the Padres team is playing. I like the cut of their jib. So even the Hawks going today, it's great. I think it's going to be two good games, two great games.
I think today's game could be pretty low scoring. Tomorrow, I mean, with a knuckleballer, it feels like almost anything can happen.
Matt Waldron, knuckleballer, and I did talk to him about his relationship with Tim Wakefield. Go check that out in the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast the next couple of days. All right, Harry in Topsfield. Hey, Harry, thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
What's up, Bradshaw? McFarland, first off.
McFarland.
Yep.
Second off, I have a little who says no trade for you and Gordo.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, Gordo, you, Sammy, and Pat have been talking about how there's just a massive logjam of position players in the farm system at the moment.
Yep. I like
that. And not only that, we have to balance up this lineup. So, who says no? Masataka Yoshida and Matt Lugo to the Mets for old friend JD Martinez.
Oh, I know. I have the answer for who says no, but go ahead, Gordo.
I think I also have the answer, and it's the Mets.
It is the Mets.
I don't think the Mets are going to want to take on that contract.
No, and also the other thing is, Harry, that the Mets, as we said, because of a random song from a utility infielder and because of Grimace.
And a McDonald's match.
They are actually in it, and JD Martinez is so much part of that solution than part of the problem.
Fair enough.
So, all right. Harry, I want you to keep coming every single week. You are designated as our Who Says No caller. Don't let us down, all right?
Love it. Deal from the position players.
Could you also do it to the Blue Jays for Justin Turner?
That one I like a little bit better.
Spoiler alert, I've come up with four for today. Justin Turner was,
all right.
was for
So one. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here. Matt Spiegel from Chicago. Chicago covers the Cubs, does radio shows out there, does podcasts, baseball broadcasting podcast, all of it. He's coming up. He's going to answer that. I wanted to have on Matt because, number one, he's great to talk to. But also, we talked a lot about Craig Counsell's contract. And Matt can give us a perspective of, is Craig Counsell worth the money they're paying him? Because obviously this is part of the conversation when it comes to Alex Cora. So we're going to have Matt Spiegel on. Then after Matt, I'll let you do your Who Says No fake trades, Gordo.
All right, let's hit
it. And that'll lead us right into the pregame show. But if you want to call, 617-779-7937. We've had some great calls. We appreciate everybody. At BB Isn't Boring. Be back after this.